us as we celebrate his coming. I'm going to read some verses of scripture from Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Let's praise God together as we sing our opening hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's praise God. Wonderful. How marvellous the Saviour's love for me, for you and for me. And we praise God for that wondrous love for each one of us.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come to meet again in this house, this home, and we count it a privilege, Father, because here Jesus comes to meet with us, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Saviour of the world, the great Shepherd of the sheep, and the servant of all. Thank you, dear Lord, bind us together in your love as we meet now. May your presence be known to each one of us. Bless each one from the youngest to the oldest. Thank you that we're all so precious in your sight. Thank you for our little children. We pray, dear Lord, that we may hear your words reminding us that unless we have the heart of a little child, we will never enter your kingdom. And so, dear Lord, may we together as your children praise your holy name, worship you in the beauty of holiness, and walk humbly day by day with our dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings to us day by day. Thank you for this past week. Dear Lord and Father, whatever has passed along our pathway of life, you have been with us, our rock, our strength through all things. There's never been a moment, dear Father, when you have not been there with us, gently loving us, guiding us, comforting us, holding us in the hollow of your hand, blessing us through your love. Oh, dear Father, we have so much to be thankful for, and we just give you thanks today. We pray that this time of praise and worship will be a blessed time, dear Father. We pray that we may hear your word with gladness, rejoice in its ancient power, and rejoice that it is still as relevant today as it has been throughout every age. Speak to us through your word, dear Father. And may our praises in singing be the praises that stem from our hearts. And may this time that we share together be a time that will be with us throughout this coming week, and be a strength to us. Dear Lord, hear our prayer and bless us, we pray, in the name above every name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Together let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our second hymn. It may be known to you, it may not, but we're glad and very grateful to our worship group this morning. Thank you so much for your ministry in music. And I know that you're going to lead us in this. Thank you.
I feel
Thank you. Beautiful. Both our readings this morning will be familiar to you, I'm sure. In Sunday school days, you've probably read at some stage the 23rd Psalm, and it may have gone through with you throughout the years. No doubt it has for many of you. And the story of the prodigal son will again be something you may have acted out at Sunday school. I remember we did on one occasion. And it's a parable, a story that always has something new to tell us. And I pray that it will have something new to tell us this morning. We're going to hear Psalm 23, and Alison is going to read for us. Thank you, Alison.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you very much.
Loved with an everlasting love. As we sing our next hymn, let us remember that love which flows from the heart of God to each one of us, and especially to those who are outside of the fold, those who have never known Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus is seeking the lost. He always will. That's the nature of God. And today he goes on seeking those who do not know where they've come from, why they are here, or where they're going. We're called to seek them too, for our dear Lord's sake. So let's sing in praise the hymn, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean, Loving Kindness as the Flood. We're going to hear that well-known parable now, the parable of the lost son, and Philip is going to share that with us now. Thank you, Philip.
The lost son. Jesus went on to say, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, Father, give me my share of the property now. So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away, where he wasted his money in reckless living. He spent everything he had. Then a severe famine spread over that country, and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last, he came to his senses and said, "All my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am, about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.' So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran, threw his arms round his son and kissed him. 'Father,' the son said, 'I sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son.' But the father called the servants. 'Hurry,' he said, 'bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with the feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found.' And so the feasting began. In the meantime, the elder son was out in the field. On his way back, when he came close to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come back home,' the servant answered, 'and your father has killed the prize calf because he got him back safe and sound.' The elder brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. But he answered his father, 'Look at all the years I have worked for you like a slave, and I have never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me? Not even a goat for me to have as a feast with my friends. But this son of yours wasted all your property on prostitutes, and when he comes back home, you kill the prize calf for him.' 'My son,' the father answered, 'you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost, but now he has been found.'"
Thank you, Philip. Thank you very much.
We're going to just share a prayer together. I know that you've already given and continue to give, but we're just going to ask God to bless those gifts and give him thanks for his gifts to us. So let's just pray. God, our Father, we pray that you will take the gifts that we bring in love, use them according to your will and purpose. Thank you for all your blessings, those countless gifts that we receive. Take, we pray, both the gift and the giver. Use both to glorify your name on the harvest fields of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. And we sing again to the glory of God that beautiful hymn, "All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon."
Thank you.
join together in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Wonder if any of you have black sheep in the family? It's not a rhetorical question. You can have a think about it. I suppose we're very fortunate if we don't have black sheep in our families. Many people over the years I've spoken to have those who have gone astray, we might say. We had two black sheep in our family. One was a drunkard. He was drunk more often than he was sober. And on occasion, he would come to our home, to Mum. My father had passed away, but Mum ran the home. And he would knock on the door. My sister and I would sometimes see him, and we would cringe. Uh-oh, here he comes. Mum would never but open the door. The door was always open to this man, his uncle. It was throughout the years, and I'd known many a time when she would get a meal for him, take care of him, and off he would go on his way. He never changed throughout the years. He remained deep in his drink, but Mum always opened the door. And we had an uncle up north. He lived in Cleethorpes, and he had mental problems, only slight at one stage, but he was very difficult. He isolated himself completely, locked himself in his bedroom, and the family just almost discarded him as though he didn't exist. He was a very learned man, a very gifted man in many ways. Over the years, he became more and more isolated. And then he moved down into this area to be closer to my mum, his own family having just turned away from him, turned him aside as though he didn't exist. And to this day, I still have cousins up north there, and I sense that they are very shameful in many ways and distressed about the fact that they literally disowned their own father. I've known Keith, my cousin particularly, brought to tears as he spoke about his father. He ended up in St. Crispin's home in Northampton. He never should have been there, really, but he was. And he would be able to come out, and he would come to Mum. And again, Mum would always welcome him, open the door, opened her arms, as I remember, to greet him with love, cared for him, loved him, no matter what. Some time ago, I was in Peterborough and went to the cathedral there. And I was looking around with Diane, my wife, and I usually go to the prayer board just to have a look, just to have a glance at some of the prayers. And I noticed one prayer in particular. It was from a young girl. She was only 14. And on the prayer card, she had written, "My friend has AIDS. All her friends have deserted her, but I will never desert her. I will love her." Simple message, profound message, a message that spoke more about the love of God in someone's heart than maybe anything else could do. Practical in loving the friend the friend who she loved through all things. And the story of the prodigal son is an it's radical in many ways. And there are many things that we learn from it, but there are many things that we're still to learn. The story begins with the young son, of course, asking his father for his share of the inheritance. Itself was in the Middle East to be an insult. You didn't ask your father for your share of the inheritance until he died. But this man did, in the story that Jesus tells. He went straight to his father and said, "Will you give me my share of the inheritance?" And his father did. And we all know what happened. We all know that he went away and he spent his money as though there was no tomorrow. And whilst he was spending that money, he had plenty of friends. I suppose you always do when you've got money in your pocket. He'd got money in his pocket. And so he gathered together his group of friends. And some versions of the Bible tell us he spent it all in riotous living. Others are more modern and tell us about parties and so on. And also, of course, prostitutes. And so we could go on about the way that money was spent in ridiculous living, we might say. But he wanted to enjoy himself. He wanted to get out there and to have a good time. And nothing was going to stop him. And it didn't until all that money was gone. All that money was gone. And then Jesus says, that's when he began to think. That's when he began to think in his mind. And he took a job on a farm, as we know, and he was amongst the pigs. And because he got nothing, he was glad to even eat of the pig's wheel. Now, I had an aunt and uncle in the village at Earls Barton, and they kept two pigs and hens. They had names for the pigs, and you know, I can't think of them now, but it doesn't matter. But my Uncle Horace, he used to love those pigs, and he would scratch their backs, because you probably know that they like their back scratching, and so he would do that. And he taught me so much about animals and livestock, once taking me to Bedford Cattle Market, and there I was, sat amongst all those who were bidding for these livestock. It was fascinating to me. The only thing that I couldn't understand was the auctioneer speaking so fast that you just couldn't understand him. But I remember those pigs, and I remember the swill that was in the troughs that Uncle had prepared. And I used to think, what a mess for a young lad growing up to see that. And I'd thought about this story because I'd been told this story a few weeks before I actually saw that slop in the trough, and so it gave me an indication of exactly what the prodigal son that Jesus spoke of was doing. He was happy to eat from that trough, from that slop. Then, after a time, he thought even deeper, as we know in the story. He thought, you know something, those back home and even my father's hired servants don't live like this. They've got no idea how I'm living now, and I'm going to go back home. And what he did as he was about to go back home was to rehearse what he was going to say. Do you ever do that in your mind's eye? Do you ever think, do you find yourself at night's art? We've just done Joseph and the Amazing Technical at Dreamcoat at Earls Barton, the music society. And I was asked to play the part of Potiphar. And I had to learn my words. And I found myself sometimes at night, the middle of the night, thinking about those words and going over them. And sometimes we do, don't we? And sometimes we remember words. Sometimes in our Christian lives, words of love that people speak to us, sometimes words that might be a little hurtful, and we have to pray about that. But we do remember things, and we remember words, and he was rehearsing I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That's what I'll do. And no doubt, all the way home, though Jesus didn't bother to say that, he was rehearsing those words, thinking, my Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer to be fit to be called your son. But please take me on. Take me on as a hired servant. I'll come just like that and work for you. And he went, and he made that journey that Jesus tells us of. And whilst he was a long way off, the Bible tells us, his father must have seen him from a distance. From a distance as he looked out. And most fathers, probably, if we're honest, might well have said, rather than running out to greet him, don't you ever darken my doorstep again. You've let me down. You've got no right to come home. I'm sorry. I don't want anything else to do with you. And that can sometimes happen. But as he was approaching home, the father ran out. Ran, notice, the Bible tells us. He ran out to greet his son with open arms, loving him. Despite all that he'd done, despite the inheritance that he'd now spent, despite all the shallowness of the life that he'd led, the father opened his arms. In effect, saying, welcome home, welcome home. We know that, of course, not only did he welcome his son, but he killed the fatted calf, prepared a party. Just think of that, preparing a party for the one who had deserted you, the one whom you'd let down, the one who time and time again had failed you in so many ways. And sometimes we have to confess that we let Jesus down. We fail in our walk with our Lord. We turn away. In thought, word, and deed, we forget that our call is to go out and to search for the lost and to care for those who have never known Christ, to walk with those who are hopeless in their lives and who do not know which way to turn. We've got a great responsibility, haven't we, dear friends, to go and to share our Christian love with those so desperately in need. That's our call, and it's our responsibility. And so the father threw that party. And what a party, no doubt it was, because it meant so much to the father, who still retained that eternal love for his son. The elder brother, we know, was out in the fields. And when he heard of what was going on, the commotion that was being there, he was annoyed and he asked what was happening. And when he was told about the party that the father was sharing, he just wouldn't have anything to do with it. No, no. But then we read that he did speak to his father. And he spoke of all that he'd done over the years and the fact that he'd been loyal. And we sometimes do. We sometimes do. Lord, this is what I've done for you. This is what I've done for you. This is what I've done for you. Instead of, this is what you've done for me. This is what you've done for me. This is what you have done for me. And so the elder was jealous. And we hear those words that Jesus spoke of the Father to his beloved son. You've been dear to me throughout the years. You've been precious to me. But you see,
this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Throughout Scripture, we see those whom Jesus has taken from the scraps of life and whose lives he's transformed. Think of Matthew, the tax collector, a man of ridicule, a man who would be looked upon with suspicion and distrust. And when Jesus called him to follow, he did. Follow me, were the words of Jesus. And when Matthew came to follow his Lord, he threw a party. Who wouldn't? He had no friends, but he found a friend in Jesus. He had a life that was dull, and now he had found true joy, true happiness. His whole life was transformed through those two words, follow me. And he walked with his Lord, and he shared a party to end all parties, a party in which Jesus was the chief guest. Jesus was the chief guest. When you and I celebrate the wonders of God's love, do we remember to make sure that we've invited the chief guest? Do we remember the one who for our sake went to the cross of Calvary, gave his life to ransom each one of us? Do we remember that the party should also be open to those who have never known the love of God? Because that party that the Father threw for his younger son was open to the elder. The elder was not discarded. He decided to discard himself. The wonderful story of rich beauty that Jesus told, it's very much a radical story, because in many ways Jesus was turning the whole world upside down when he spoke of that call of the Father to show love. Not judgment, not where you've been, what have you done, why have you gone that way, get out, I want nothing more to do with you. No, the Father running to greet his Son, whom he loved so dearly. Do we love with that kind of love? Do we reach out just as the Father reached out? Do we, when we see someone upon our doorstep that has gone wrong, that has turned away from God, think, don't want them here too often, or don't want them here at all? God does. God does. And within this house of prayer, there may well be people who will come in who are simply seeking that love which alone can uphold them, can give them strength, can give them hope, to give them release from their sins and their brokenness. And each one of us has that call to love them with an everlasting love. We never know what this next week may bring. We never know who might come into our lives. No doubt you, as I have done, have met with those whom the world passes by. And even in the church sometimes we have to confess that we may have turned aside those who are deeply seeking God. We have to pray about that. Pray that the Lord will hold us in his love and lead us on. Because Jesus himself was rejected by those whom he loved. Jesus knew what it was to be turned away, to be spat upon, to be laughed at. Jesus himself knew what it was to be whipped and to be hurt and to be broken. And on the cross, we hear again those poignant words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I wonder how many black sheep have come into the family of God throughout the years. The black sheep of the family who have come into the fold, the sheepfold of our Lord, and found the Good Shepherd as their Saviour and their friend. Thankfully, there are countless numbers who, having found life to give them nothing but brokenness, have come to find life in Jesus Christ and have rejoiced. So may we rejoice over all the lost sheep, all those prodigal sons who have at last returned to the household of faith, and rejoice as we rejoice. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your love for all people. A love that never dies. A door that's never closed. A heart that's filled with the love that reaches out to the lost and the broken and the desolate and the desperate. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that you reach out to all. We thank you for that wondrous story, dear Father, that Jesus told of that prodigal son. Thank you that it has so much to say to us today, as it has done throughout the years, and by your grace will continue to do so. May that story dwell richly in our hearts. May we rejoice in it, but may it also challenge us. Challenge us to reach out in faith. Challenge us to love all kinds and conditions of humanity. To never look upon anyone as being without hope. Father, use each one of us to share your love wherever we go, that the door may never be closed where we're concerned, but may be opened. An open door that says, "Come home, come home." Loving Father, accept our thanks and praise for your word today, and the word that is our guide throughout our lives. Hear our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. In a short time, we will share lunch together, and then you have a meeting. Let's just pray about that. Loving Father, we thank you that Jesus met often around the table with food prepared. Thank you, dear Father, for those who have prepared food for us today, and give us grateful hearts that we are able to share that food. We pray for those parts of the world where food is scarce, where people cry out for their next meal, where youngsters reach out with a bowl waiting to be filled with grain. Dear Lord and Father, we pray that you will give us hearts of love, that we may reach out to them, that we may reach out to their deepest needs. And we pray, dear Father, that our meeting may be governed by your guidance, that we may know your power, that we may know your speaking amongst us, and that we may go forward in faith, to do that which you have called us to do, to walk humbly with our Lord. Hear our prayer, dear Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And finally, we praise God together as we sing the hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, remembering that our shepherd loves each one of us within the fold, whilst he reaches out to those who are outside of the fold. Together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and with all those whom you love, both in this world and the next. Amen.